Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is Monday, and we plan on beginning your week with a bang here on WKAR's Current Sports, an absolute fire show coming your way. Before I proceed, I just want to say I really hope you all had a great weekend out there. I hope you watched a ton of sports, so that you are fully informed on what we are about to bring your way in the local sports world and beyond here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. A lot to get to. We will, of course, start with what occurred on Saturday afternoon inside of the friendly confines of Spartan Stadium as Michigan State football played its fourth game of the season against the Central Michigan Chippewas. This was a game that many expected to be an absolute blowout. Not even close. The line was set at 29.5 points in favor of Michigan State University. However, the Spartans, they just can't close the door on games right now. It was an 11-point victory over Central Michigan. An 11-point win over a team that shouldn't have even been in the ballpark of Michigan State on Saturday. I'll break down what happened in that game, give you my thoughts on Michigan State moving forward now as they get into the thick of things when it comes to that Big Ten conference schedule. But not many Spartan fans are high on this team right now, and I can't blame you, okay? You know, you look at the how Michigan State, and it looked like for a minute, when it was 31-3, it looked like for a minute Michigan State was going to cover and they were just going to roll. But they let the door open for the Chips to get back in it and made it real interesting as the game went along. So if you only beat Central by 11 points, you lose to Arizona State earlier in the year. Utah State, that was a close game as well. Too close for comfort. Indiana, I mean, when you look at these first four games for Michigan State, sure, 3-1, cool. But I don't know how you can look at those games and say, all right, I'm pretty confident that Michigan State is going to be in that running for a Big Ten East Conference competitiveness to be in the Big Ten Championship game. Come December, I don't know how you can look at that game against Central and feel confident in your Spartans moving forward. I don't know. I don't think I'm overreacting here. I'll dive into the X's and O's of that game. You'll hear some post-game coverage from what head coach Mark Antonio had to say. Also, Mike Tressel, defensive coordinator. Brian Lewerke, junior quarterback. Joe Bocci, linebacker. And, you know, I have one problem with what Brian Lewerke had to say during his press conference. His response to one question really surprised me. I'll explain. All right, we'll play that for you, and I'll explain. Also, the Michigan Wolverines barely beat the Northwestern Wildcats on Saturday. What was up with that, right? Out in Evanston, Illinois. Michigan, at one point, was down 17-0. They come all the way back. It's the biggest comeback in the coaching career, college coaching career of Jim Harbaugh. They had to pull out all the tricks in that second half to come back and then win the game. We'll talk about that as well. And how about those Detroit Lions, huh? Ah, I told you it was fool's gold. Fool's gold that went over the New England Patriots at Lions fans going, yippity-dee, we are going to the playoffs. Well, some of you said that. Not all of you said that, all right? But they lose to the Cowboys. A last-second field goal. Jared Davis allowed Ezekiel Elliott to get him back of him. And that was it. Game over. The Detroit Lions lose yet again. We'll talk about that game and more. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, multiple ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to chat with me live on the air and get anything off your sports noggin. Also, go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream. Comment below that video. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Let's first hit you with our current sports quick hit headliners. Again, we start with Michigan State football. The Spartans converted a late fourth down and ran out the clock, earning a 31-20, 11-point victory against Central Michigan on Saturday afternoon in East Lansing. Michigan State moves to 3-1 with the win. Central is now 1-4. The Spartans will host the homecoming game come this weekend, Saturday at noon against the Northwestern Wildcats. And speaking of Northwestern, Northwestern played a home matchup against the Wolverines on Saturday. And Michigan rallied behind poised quarterback Shea Patterson and an increasingly stingy defense to overcome a slow start and a 17-point deficit for an important conference road win. Josh Uche sat Clayton Thorson on the final play as Northwestern tried to make a final comeback, preserving a 20-17 victory at Ryan Field for the 14th-ranked Wolverines. On Saturday, the Wolverines are now 4-1, 2-0 in Big Ten play. It's the first time Michigan has overcome a 17-0 deficit for a victory since beating Notre Dame 35-31 7 years ago in 2011. It's the biggest comeback under Coach Jim Harbaugh and tied for the third largest in program history. All right, Michigan State men's soccer. The number 5 MSU men's soccer team lost its first game of the season in heartbreaking fashion, 1-0 in overtime against Wisconsin on a cool and rainy day at DeMartin Stadium yesterday. The day began with a celebration as the Spartans unveiled plaques honoring the 1967 national championship team, led by MSU Hall of Famer and former head coach Joe Baum. Yesterday was also Alumni Day, as Spartans from 6 different decades were honored at the half. After suffering its first loss of the season, Damon Rensing's squad now falls to 8-1-2 overall, 2-1 in league action. Wisconsin improves to 5-4-1 overall, 2-1 in the Big Ten. The Michigan State women's volleyball team snapped a 3-game skid and earned a 3-1 victory over visiting Rutgers on Saturday at Jennison Fieldhouse. Alyssa Kronowski set a new career high with 20 kills, while freshman setter Alina Schuyler established a new career best with 48 assists in the win. Middle blockers Rebecca Poljan had career highs in kills, hitting percentage, and was one shy of her career best with 7 blocks, 2 of them solo stuffs. Both Talai Marmon and Nastaya Kudrusova had 10 kills for the visiting Scarlet Knights, which now they sit at 6-11, 0-4 in Big Ten play. This news just broke today. Michigan State freshman Charla Echols of the Michigan State softball team has been invited to the 2019 USA Softball Junior Women's National Team selection trials to be held December 28th to New Year's Day, January 1st, at the Eddie C. Moore Softball Complex in Florida. USA Softball announced the list of invitees on Friday. That's big news there. And, yeah, the Detroit Lions. By air and by ground, Ezekiel Elliott torched the Lions consistently in the 26-24 victory for the Dallas Cowboys over your Detroit Lions. Zeke rushed for 152 yards on 25 attempts and pulled down 4 receptions for 88 yards and a touchdown, aside from pushing Dallas across the first down marker on third and short in several instances. Zeke also had a knack for making the big play. He made the Lions pay for putting Jarrett Davis on his route, pulling in a 34-yard reception on 2nd and 10, 1:23 remaining, allowing the Cowboys to run out the clock for a last-second field goal by Brett Maher. And props to my Cowboys, because they got a lot of flack for letting go of Dan Bailey in favor of Brett Maher. But Brett Maher, the 28-year-old, gave the Cowboys a win. His longest rush of the day, that being Zeke, went for 41 yards, and Zeke also pulled in a 38-yard reception. Props to Golden Tate, though. He played his tail off. He had the best game of the season so far for him, pulling in all 8 passes thrown his way for 132 yards and 2 touchdowns. And I'm a fan of Golden Tate's taunting as he hauls into football. He's so fun to watch. He really is. All right, with the loss, the Lions are now a sizzling 1-3 and will host the Green Bay Packers this weekend. All right, quite a juxtaposition, right? The scene on the field at Miller Park following the Tigers' 11-0 season-ending loss to the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday, as a crowd of nearly 42,000 fans rejoiced. A veteran-laden and ultra-talented Brewers, several of their starters already pulled from the game, were in a Kong group mob celebrating their 95th win of the season, anxious to play the Chicago Cubs today to settle the National League Central Division title. Meanwhile, a young band of Tigers, beaten for the 98th time, somberly emptied out of their dugout and prepared to head into another offseason of general uncertainty. The Tigers are where the Brewers were 3 years ago, and the Brewers are now what the Tigers are striving to be. And as I just mentioned, tiebreakers, right? As if 162 games wasn't enough, baseball fans. Today, get this, the Cubs, Brewers, Dodgers, and Rockies all winning. The stage is set for a pair of tiebreaker games today that will determine the National League Central and the AL West champs, as well as the NL wildcard game matchup. It's the first time in MLB history that 2 tiebreaker games will be staged on the same day, which means today should be a wild day of baseball that could really, you know, kind of like live on for years to come. It's pretty crazy that we're seeing 2 tiebreakers on this Monday. And right now, the Brewers and Cubs, they just got underway. 0-0, bottom of the first. We'll keep you updated on that score. And then later on today, you can catch the Rockies and Dodgers first pitch scheduled for 4 p.m. there. And also the Ryder Cup. Oh, the Ryder Cup. The United States just did not show up at all, right? 2018 Ryder Cup, dramatic for a short while during the Sunday singles matches. But in the end, Europe rolled to a clear 17.5-10.5 victory after entering the day leading 10-6. So there you have that, and come next season, right? I mean, Phil Mickelson is going to be 50 years old. Tiger Woods will be 44. And you know, even the number one golfer in the world, I mean, Dustin Johnson didn't show up. Just really disappointing. Really disappointing. So I'm glad I didn't set my alarm for every day at 2 a.m. watching what happened
in the Ryder Cup because I would have been very disappointed and very sleepy. All right.
So that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can join in. Call the show 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Live stream up and running there. Comment below that video. And you can tweet us. Hop on Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Spartan fans, I want to hear from you right now. How are you feeling about your 3-1 Spartans after only beating Central Michigan on Saturday by 11 points? Are you confident in the Spartans moving forward? What are your thoughts on the upcoming Big Ten schedule? Again, the Spartans playing host to Northwestern this Saturday afternoon for homecoming. Call in 517-355-WKAR and weigh in on social media. Let's keep this train a-pushing.
It's just disappointing for me. Something that, you know, we are very aware, you know, offensively, we just kind of got stopped a little bit going into the third and fourth quarter. Probably should have put up more points, but, you know, it just sucks that we can't finish out teams. I really want to be able to do that. Hopefully we'll be able to do that at some point.
Coach Truss, when we get to halftime, said 30 more minutes of domination. And, you know, we might only had 15, 20 minutes of domination.
Well, we trust the guys to go back out there and seal it, but I'm definitely not happy with the fact that we gave up points in the fourth quarter. I mean, that shouldn't happen.
You know, those are the laps we can't have. That's going to lead to a loss or something. But, you know, we got to stay focused. You know, it's on us. We'll work on it this week.
No, I was concerned about focus. I was concerned about Central, personally. You know, I thought we had focus as evidenced by going down the field offensively. Had to make some plays offensively to run the clock out, and we did. We'll come and we'll compete. We'll come and we'll compete. And that's all I can ever ask our guys. You know, will they show up and play hard and things of that nature? And we'll do that.
I think that right now, that is the only thing that Mark D'Antonio can guarantee. That Michigan State will show up and compete. I actually think there's two areas. Because right now, Michigan State's defensive line is still showing up week after week. They are causing a lot of havoc in the backfield of opposing quarterbacks and running backs, shutting down the run game, entering that matchup against Central on Saturday as the number one rushing defense in the nation. Justifiably so. It's fantastic watching that Michigan State defensive line do work. But every other area is kind of a crapshoot right now. It really is. You know, I want to give a big shout out to Jack Ebling and Tom Crawford and Darian Harris. I was a part of Fox 47's Press Pass All-Stars last night. And we had a great time. I love doing that show. I tell you what, there should be a camera rolling when we aren't on, when that red dot isn't on, because we joke around and have a great time during an episode, but also because the great Baba Pisa was in the house as well. Baba Pisa, the greatest Michigan State fullback of all time, of course, now lives out in L.A., and Bob was in town this week for the Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame induction ceremony of Jimmy Ray,
the only, well, I should say the first quarterback, black quarterback from the South to lead his team to a national championship. Jimmy Ray, of course, played with Bob Appice and company. And Bob was in town to celebrate that accomplishment with Jimmy. And he joined us on the taping last night. Just had a great time. But, you know, I was asked by Jack to give a letter grade of Michigan State's performance against Central Michigan. And I went with the C. Tempted to put it as a C-minus. Because there are just a lot of puzzling things happening with this team right now. You know, again, I go back to what I stated at the very beginning of the show. I thought that when it was 31-3, I said, okay, this is the golden opportunity for Michigan State to send a message to the Big Ten Conference and to send a message to themselves that they can blow out a bad team. You know, that was a prime opportunity for them to show their true potential, to show why many of them had themselves in the Big Ten East conversation of coming out and possibly competing for a Big Ten championship out in Indy at the very beginning of December, to put some validation on that Michigan State football name and look at those games against Indiana, against Arizona State, against Utah State, and send a message that this is who we truly are. I mean, we can blow out bad teams because that is what you're supposed to do, right? 29.5-point favorites. Live up to it. And then they let Central Michigan back in the game. Slow start for Michigan State. Central Michigan actually got on the board first. It was 3-0 at the end of the first quarter. Central tacked on an early field goal. Michigan State, in response, driving down the field in the red zone. And Brian Lewerke, junior quarterback of the Spartans, threw his now fifth interception of the season. Brian Lewerke, through four games of the year, already has 5 interceptions. He had 7 all of last season. Something wrong with that, right? Decision making for Brian Lewerke has to become better. And what I want to do right now, I want to play a snippet because there was Brian entered that press conference and he seemed a bit dejected. And you get it, right? I mean, you only beat Central by 11 points. And also, intermixed with that intro, you heard the voices of Brian Lewerke, Mike Trussell, Michigan State defensive coordinator. And then from Mike Trussell, you heard Joe Bocci, Michigan State linebacker. And then you heard Mark D'Antonio. And, you know, Alec Rios behind the glass. Alec, you covered that game with me. And Connor Mathis was also there. And, you know, you were sitting there at the press conference. And I'm pretty sure you got the same vibe that I got. I mean, you saw Brian enter and He didn't crack a smile. He wasn't his, because Brian is a happy young man. I mean, he usually cracks a smile when he walks in and he's ready for questions. And he just seemed a bit dejected. And you get why. Am I wrong in assessing that? Because I went back and kind of looked at our video coverage from that game. He looked a bit down.
Yes. Right? So did everyone else, like the offensive defensive coordinators.
Dave Warner and Mike Trussell, they looked like,
Mark D'Antonio looks very stoic, too. He was very just...
Well, I will even say, D'Antonio was playful.
Yeah,
D'Antonio has his mindset, and I get it. I get it to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
D'Antonio, it's all about the win for him. He doesn't care about style points. He doesn't care about covering the spread, and he shouldn't, right? I mean, that's not his business, right?
Yeah.
He just cares about getting that win. So D'Antonio cracked a few jokes. I mean, he joked about his glasses. I don't have my glasses, you know. He chuckled, right? I mean, D'Antonio just cares about that win. At the end of the day, when I'm sure looking at that film, he knows that they have a lot of things to figure out as Big Ten play happens. and comes about. But, you know, D'Antonio, in comparison to the demeanor of his assistant coaches and Dave Warner and Mike Tressel, in comparison to Joe Bocci and Brian Lewerke and the players that we talked to, D'Antonio was shining bright, man. His personality was night and day in comparison to those guys, because I didn't see anybody smile except D'Antonio after that game. And with that being said, I had one problem from what Brian Lewerke had to say. Brian Lewerke was asked about his turnover problem this season. Again, through four games, Brian Lewerke has thrown five interceptions. Seven all of last year. This is becoming a problem. Week after week, this is becoming a problem, because if you turn the ball over against teams like Utah State and Central, if you do that against greater competition within the conference, that is going to cost you games. Those turnovers are going to cost you big games. Brian Lewerke was asked about his turnover problems, and this is the response that Lewerke gave.
You know, their DBs were holding a lot. They should have called more, I think, pass interference penalties even than what they did. I think the interception was 100% pass interference. The guy grabbed Felton had him beat by a yard. The guy grabbed and pulled himself through and picked the ball off. I think the ball was in a decent spot. Maybe, you know, I could have been a little farther in front, I guess, but I think that's just a missed call maybe. I think, you know, that it was a good decision to throw go there, like Coach Warner said, I think. But obviously got to eliminate those no matter what happens.
I think that was the wrong response. That was the wrong response, Brian. And I don't know if Brian, when you go back, I'm pretty sure many Spartan fans have seen that. Those who are watching at home saw it multiple times on the replay. It was hard to see in real time. It's hard in general seeing everything from the press box and being up that high and having that bird's eye view. But I went back as soon as Brian threw that interception to he was trying to go to Felton Davis in the red zone, and he was picked off. I went on Twitter to get a better look and to see if anybody was going to post the video from the broadcast. And lo and behold, I'm up there and I'm sitting next to Jack Ebling and some others. And if you look at that video, when Brian snaps the football to his left, if he just looks to his left, he's got Andre Welch wide open. There is no one within like 20, 30 feet of Andre Welch. If he just goes through his progressions, looks to his left, he's got Andre sitting there for an easy 6 points. So Brian, when asked about the turnover, he puts it on the referees, which I hate. When any coach or any player blames the referees, especially for something that could have been easily corrected by you as a player on the field in that moment. Sure, maybe it was pass interference, you know, a little tug there on Felton Davis. If you see the defender that close, though, especially Brian, you've thrown four interceptions so far this year, go somewhere else. Don't try and force it. But to give that response, and I'm sure, and again, Brian didn't look happy when he walked into that press conference. Emotions were probably still high for him, and he knew that the turnover question was going to come, and maybe he just wanted to get something off his chest and give himself an excuse as to why he threw that football. But Brian, looking back at that film, you made the wrong read. It was the wrong decision. Andre Welch was wide open to your left. That's a touchdown. And that's a throw. That's the throw that you should have made. I'm not sitting up here trying to bash Brian Lewerke. What I am critiquing, though, is that turnover and the excuse he gave for throwing the football in the end zone to Felton Davis at that particular moment. Coupled with the fact that Brian Lewerke has a turnover issue right now through four games. Because if you make that kind of play,
against Penn State, against Ohio State. Heck, this weekend against Northwestern, who pushed Michigan to the brink. Those are bad decisions that will cost you games. I did not like that response. And if Dave Warner, I didn't hear, Alec, did you hear Dave Warner say that it was the right read? I have to go back and listen to it. But if Dave Warner said that, he's wrong as well. He is wrong as well. And again, I know it's immediately after. You haven't seen the film. But I'm sure you looked at that play again. And Spartan fans, if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you have not seen that play again, go back and look at it. Andre Welch to Brian Lewerke's left, easy decision, easy touchdown. And even if you did feel that way, Alec, you don't say that at the press conference. You can feel that way. Brian Lewerke, you can feel like that defender, it was a pass interference, the referees missed it. I am still confident in my decision in throwing that football. It was the right read. You can feel that way, but you don't say that at the press conference in front of the media. You chalk it up and say, I made a bad decision there, or, yeah, five turnovers. I need to play better as a quarterback, but you don't blame it on the referee. So, Brian Lewerke, I love him again. I'm eating my words now, but you know, I had Brian Lewerke as a Heisman Trophy candidate before this season, but you know, that's out the window now. Five interceptions, you know, through four games. That's just not going to get the job done unless he plays out of his mind right now. But am I wrong in saying that that response was the wrong response, Alec?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. You just got to humble yourself, say that I got to do better as a quarterback and I got to do what's best for my team instead of trying to blame outside things for it. And so it's just a learning experience as he goes through his college experience, you know, learning about how media works and stuff and what to do and what not to do when it comes to answering media.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that I'm sure that coaching staff is going to maybe talk to him about that. I'm sure D'Antonio is going to talk to him about that. I mean, you know, you can't go blaming the referees. I mean, if that was Coach D'Antonio, he'll be getting fined. He'll be getting fined. You know, you can't say anything bad about the referees. But if Brian had a point, then maybe I would have his back some more. You know what I mean? But that was just the wrong throw. That was the wrong throw to make in that situation. All right. When it comes to Michigan State now, I mean, this is a team, again, you only beat Central by 11 points. Central, the Chippewas, 11 points. And now, you know, this is going to have a tremendous ripple effect, I think, for the rest of the season. The news that we received after the game that Cody White broke his left hand. I mean, Cody White and Felton Davis have been Brian Lewerke's go-to guys. When things aren't going well, when that run game isn't doing anything. And by the way, you know, that's kind of what saved Michigan State on Saturday. I mean, that run game at times seemed to work just because Brian Lewerke made it work. I mean, when there was nothing down the field, Brian Lewerke just said, all right, let me put on my white lightning cleats and pick up the first down and make something happen. He had two rushing touchdowns. Also, Connor Hayward had a touchdown and Ladarius Jefferson. So they kind of got it going on the ground, but still, some of those plays were just breakdowns, and Brian Lewerke said, I'm just going to take this myself, all right? That offensive line is still plug and play. That offensive line is still not healthy, still not opening up things for the run game. Heck, we have not seen the number one running back in L.J. Scott for 2 weeks. Don't know what his health is moving forward. And now, oh, reliable. That Lewerke to Davis and Lewerke to White connection, the passing game, which has been the most reliable component of that Michigan State offense, is in jeopardy now because Cody White has a broken hand. You are a wide receiver. That is your hands are everything. That's your bread and butter. That's how you make a living. And now Cody White has a broken hand. Not sure how long he is going to be out. He'll play later on this season again, but broken hand as a wide receiver? That's tough. That is a big loss. That's a big loss. So I just got a lot of question marks about Michigan State right now. I'm modifying. I mean, I said 10 wins. I said 10 wins before this season. Heck, we had a few of you out there and said like 11 and undefeated. That's out the window now. They lost to Arizona State in week two. I'm modifying that. 8 wins. You know, I was up there in the press box and Jack Ebling brought this up. He said 8 wins. And I said, yeah, I have to agree with you. This looks like an 8-win team right now. That's what Michigan State looks like. Yeah, I'm not real confident in this squad right now. I don't know. When they play bigger competition, if they play the way they have played so far this season against an Ohio State, against a Wisconsin, against a Michigan, I don't see how Michigan State pulls those games out. You can depend on that defensive line, though. I mean, that defensive line, I mean, they held Central to like 5 yards on the ground at the half. I mean, they've been great. They've been fantastic. But other than that, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. Am I overreacting here? I want to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below that video and tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports. When we come back, we will discuss the Michigan and Northwestern game and the best, one of the best games of the college football slate, Ohio State and Penn State. Was that fun or what, watching that one out in Happy Valley? That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus
gonna let it on the he's pain. Got it.
But I remember everything. What have I become? My sweet.
Oh, that's fitting, isn't it? Oh, Detroit Lions fans. We'll get to you in just a moment. The Lions losing to my Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, I got a lot of texts. I got blown up when that game was taking place yesterday. And, you know, that's one of those games where I just sit on my hands. Whatever happens, happens. I'm from Detroit, born and raised on the west side, Joy Road in Granville, Cody High School, all that jazz, right? I just watched the game. And the Lions had that game in the bag. All right, I don't want to get on my Lions spiel just yet, but that's fitting. Shout out to Alec Rio and Jack Kerwin behind the glass. And again, we're asking you to start the show. We asked you in segment A, you know, your thoughts on Michigan State football moving forward after losing by 11. Well, I said losing. It didn't lose. It kind of feels like a loss, doesn't it, though?
Michigan State, it does.
It does, a little bit, right? Michigan State only beats Central by 11 points. A win is a win. I don't want to be Debbie Downer here. I'm just being real with you guys. You know, I've always said when this mic comes on at 1 p.m., I am always going to be honest. I'm not going to, you know, going to be fake and say, oh, yeah, Michigan State is still a win. I am going to be honest with myself, and I'm going to be transparent with my listeners all the time. This is just how I felt. After we left Spartan Stadium, these are the thoughts that I had and I still have after watching the tape on that Michigan State win over Central. There's some glaring problems here. I don't know. They just cannot close the door on teams.
So I do want to play one more snippet that is fitting right now. I want to have some fun here. Alec, hit that thing.
How do you feel that you did disciplinely throughout the compared to the first three games?
In what way?
Discipline-wise.
You mean penalties?
Like penalties, yes.
Well, we had the one offsides penalty where we jumped. We had the roughing penalty. And I think from a penalty standpoint, I don't think we had any holding penalties. I thought we did better. You know, some of the things you can't make. You know, the one on Justin, I mean, the guy's coming. It's just football. You know, you're making split-second decisions as people are in awkward positions. So sometimes those things are going to happen. But, you know, again, I don't have my glasses on, so I'm not sure how many penalties we had.
Funny story here. Alec Rio, that was your first time throwing a question to Mark D'Antonio.
Yes, it was.
And you, funny story, because after the press conference, we're going out to the field of Spartan Stadium so I can do my on-camera stand-up so I can file my report for later. And Alec comes up to me, and you're basically like sweating, Alec, and you had on a suit, and you were like turning red. And I'm like, oh, Alec, what's going on, man? And you were just so upset at
not
yourself.
Upset. No, I'm not upset.
You
was just
frustrated.
Like...
You were mad at yourself because you had prepared what you were going to ask Coach D'Antonio in your mind. You had worded it the way you wanted to word it, and it didn't... Disciplinely isn't a word.
Just, I know,
still,
yep. Yep,
but still,
figured that out.
But still, I mean, you know, the fact that you asked a question of Mark D'Antonio, you know, it's refreshing for me because... And I remember being an intern, back in college and going to the Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo press conferences and wanting to ask a question. And you're sitting there in the presser and you look to your left and your right and you see all these media members that you read or watch on a regular basis. And, you know, you muster up the courage and your armpits are sweating, your hands are sweating, your heart's beating fast. And it's your turn to ask that question. And then, bam, and you go. And you just go, right?
Yeah, at least that's how I thought it was going to happen. Like, what had happened was, like, I was memorizing the question for a solid, like, 5 to 10 minutes. And as soon as, like, I had the mic and everything, and as soon as the other media guys stopped talking and it went to me, my mind just went blank. Absolutely blank. And I don't know why, because, like, I'm not really an anxious kind of person, but, like as soon as it happened, it just, like, all train of thought just came to a complete halt. And, like, the hamster on the wheel inside of my head stopped moving.
Right.
And I was like...
And D'Antonio has, like, this serious look at press conference.
Yeah, he does.
Where he's just kind of staring at you like, and then when he has to follow up, like, what do you mean?
What do you mean? Yeah, I know.
I thought he was like, I was wondering how you're going to handle that. Because, you know, and he's done that to young reporters in the past. But I think he realized you're a young reporter. Like, I'm not about to, you know, go on and bash this kid. And D'Antonio handled it very well.
Yeah.
All right. So, and shout out to Alec Rio as well. You had on a full suit.
I did.
On Saturday. And on your way to the Con March to meet Connor and I. You actually had a creative way to get to the station, and you took one of those bird scooters.
Yes,
you
did.
You were in a full suit on a bird scooter.
Yes, I was.
Riding around campus with sunglasses on, too, I believe, right?
Sunglasses, yeah.
You had your sunglasses. I mean, Alec Rio, the epitome of swag on Saturday. So,
yeah.
Shout out to Alec Rio. Great stuff on Saturday. If you missed our post-game report, simply go to facebook.com/WKAR News to check that out. All right. Michigan. I want to talk about Michigan real quick here because the Michigan Wolverines and the Northwestern Wildcats had an interesting game on Saturday. Michigan came all the way back after being down 17-0. They flipped the switch, came back, and it marked the biggest comeback in the coaching career, college coaching career of head coach Jim Harbaugh. It was a 20-17 final. Michigan, though, I kind of have the same thoughts, you know, that I have for Michigan State. For Michigan as well. I mean, you struggle against a 1-3 Northwestern Wildcats team, a team that they aren't world beaters. And, you know, you look at the atmosphere out in Evanston, Illinois for that game, it was like 50-50. I mean, watching that broadcast, I mean, there was a lot of maize and blue in the crowd at Ryan Field. But a win is a win, right? You know, Shea Patterson and that offense, you know, that's also kind of a crapshoot. At the end of the day, I mean, the first two drives for Michigan,
resulted in a total of negative two yards the first two possessions. Northwestern gets out to that 17-0 lead, and I'm like, whoa, okay. You know, how will the Wolverines respond here as this game moves along? You know, Shea Patterson had a great fourth quarter. You know, spotty at times, you know, spotty to start that game and, you know, up and down. But in that fourth quarter, I thought he did a great job of keeping his composure. And he makes some big time throws in that fourth quarter. Yeah, he finished 15 of 24, 196 yards, had a QBR of 78.6. Not crazy numbers. I mean, he didn't throw a touchdown. Caron Higdon was fantastic. 30 carries for him, 115 yards. He had two touchdowns. And, you know, when you look at the Wolverines, though, you know, this is a team that has also one consistent factor. You know, I mentioned Michigan State's defensive line. You can rest assured that defensive line is going to get the job done. For Michigan, it's their defense, their overall defense. Michigan's defense, that Don Brown-led defense, is going to keep Michigan in big games. It's just up to that offense to handle business and try and put some points on the board. And Chase Winovich and that defense, wow, did they hunker down or what? After being down 17-0, that defense didn't allow not one more point. They pitched a shutout in the second half. This is a defense that had a total of six sacks. Chase Winovich alone, this fun defensive end. I mean, he's fun to watch. He's got the Fabio hair flowing. I love watching Chase Winovich do what he does. He had eight solo tackles. And also had one of those six sacks. That's the thing about the Wolverines. That offense, I think that offense, I don't know if that offense could put up with enough points to legitimately compete against some of the upper echelons of the Big Ten East. But that defense is going to give you a chance to. I tell you that. I mean, they were Clayton Thorson in that offense. They were Clayton Thorson's nightmare. After that, after halftime, Clayton Thorson did not want to see the Michigan Wolverines ever again. They got in the backfield and really caused a lot of problems. So, again, I just have some questions when it comes to Michigan's offense. That defense is just fine. But again, you know, if you're Jim Harbaugh, you got to figure out a way to motivate this team coming out of the locker room to play that game in the first quarter. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is with Michigan and these slow starts, but that has to change moving forward. Also, Ohio State and Penn State. Want to briefly touch on Ohio State and Penn State. Was that a fun game to watch or what? Trace McSorley on the ground had a record-breaking day. Then you had Dwayne Haskins showing up in that second half. He's fun to watch. You know, he's an early Heisman Trophy candidate as well. Ohio State getting that kind of a win, you know, in a hostile environment, we all know how tough it is to play out there in Happy Valley against Penn State. They were pushed to the brink. And Penn State really lost that game. They really did. Penn State could not tackle anyone in that fourth quarter. You know, and two tackles were missed that led to two touchdowns and led to Ohio State getting back in that game. And I don't know what that play call was. I mean, Trace McSorley, he was having such a dynamite kind of game. And then on fourth down, you don't leave the ball in his hands to win the game. You run it. I just don't understand that play call. Yeah, that was just idiotic. James Franklin is for sure kicking himself after that one and is being highly criticized and justifiably so. But, you know, when you look at Ohio State now, you know, there's two takeaways from that game. Before we hit our final break and talk and finish the show talking Lions, two takeaways for me. Ohio State, in beating a top 10 team in Penn State in Happy Valley where it's so tough to win, they won't be tested now until, in my opinion, it's probably not until like the, you know, November. I really believe that. I think Ohio State right now, I mean, you play Indiana, that's a win. You play Minnesota, that's a win. Purdue, that's a win. Ohio State, you know, I think that Ohio State right now, and then after Purdue, you play Nebraska. Those are all wins. You won't get tested until maybe the Michigan State game on November 10th. Ohio State is going to cruise now in the month of October. And this puts them in a great position to put a stranglehold on that Big Ten East. Again, until they meet, you know, a possible, you know, competitive game against Michigan State and or the final game of the season against Michigan on November 24th. But this was huge. This was huge for two reasons. Because Ohio State now can kind of coast this month. You know, they got over the hump of Penn State and can coast all of October. But two, if you are the opposition, if you are a Michigan State or Michigan, and you're looking at that game, it showed and proved that Ohio State isn't 100% bulletproof now. You can beat the Buckeyes. There is a formula out there. Rewatch that Penn State game. Ohio State had some linebacker troubles. You know, Trace McSorley found ways to torch that Ohio State defense, pick up yards on the ground, and Ohio State could not figure it out. It showed that Ohio State, they aren't world beaters. There's only one Alabama in the college football world. So it's twofold for me. All right, let's hit this final break. When we come back, we'll briefly touch on the Detroit Lions losing to the Dallas Cowboys on the road at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Left here in this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, the Lions. I want to briefly touch on the Detroit Lions. they fell to the Dallas Cowboys on the road yesterday, and this is a game the Lions had, folks. I mean, 26-24 was the final. Matthew Stafford, great game. He threw for over 300 yards, 307 to be exact. He was 24 of 30. Two touchdowns, no interceptions, was only sacked three times for 21 yards. Matthew had a great game. Golden Tate had a monumental game for him. I mean, eight catches, 132 yards, but it's that Detroit Lions defense. That Detroit Lions defense just handed the game away. Dak Prescott, you know, they made Dak look like, you know, the best quarterback in the league. I mean, Dak was so comfortable in that game. And trust me, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, so I know the struggles that he's had. He hasn't really broken out, and defenses have contained him. And also Ezekiel Elliott, he hasn't done much this year, and Zeke went off. I mean, on the ground and through the air, Ezekiel Elliott was fantastic. Yeah, 152 yards on the ground, 25 carries, and through the air, 88 yards, four catches. None bigger than, of course, the play that put Dallas in field goal range. Brett Maher ending that game on his leg as time expired. But you know, the Lions, I don't know what the scheme was there. You know, that play that allowed Zeke to get 2 to 3 steps on Jarrett Davis, lining up Jarrett Davis on Ezekiel Elliott, man to man, one on one, did not make any sense to me.
I listened to the post-game presser with Ezekiel Elliott after the game, and Zeke noted that, yeah, I knew it was man-to-man coverage. Zeke was lined up in the slot, and the coverage right next to him, you know, he could tell it was bump-and-run coverage. They just put that receiver on a slant route to the inside left, and Zeke just went. And Dak Prescott, I mean, he was licking his chops. Yeah, that's the play they work on all the time. And Dak saw that coverage and said, all right, I know where I'm going here. Zeke, just catch the football. And it was game over. The Lions now are 1-3. 1-3 on the season. And now, as they move along in the season here, they will take on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, a team that I believe they beat the Bills, right? The Packers played the Bills. They just mollywopped the Bills on Sunday. But for all of you out there that thought that the Detroit Lions were going to get back on track, and I get it. You were feeling good after that win over Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, a team that is the National Football League. I know you were feeling good, but again, I stated it. It was fool's gold. You know, it was fool's gold. And the thing that gets me, though, is that the Lions, at one point, I thought they were going to win that game. You know, I said, okay, here it comes down to this. You know, you give the Cowboys one final breath. Can the defense just make one stop? Just one stop. That's all you got to do. One stop. And that didn't happen. So the Lions right now, you look at the NFC North, Chicago, the Bears leading the charge in the NFC North at 3-1. Then you have the Packers at 2-1. And then the Vikings at, Green Bay is 2-1-1. You know, these ties in the NFL this season, right? Then you have Minnesota at 1-2-1. And then Detroit at the bottom of the NFC North at 1-3-0. So we'll dissect and go more in depth as to where the Lions go from here now. And the likelihood of them getting back in the win column against the Green Bay Packers this Sunday. We'll have that and so much more on tomorrow's Current Sports. But until then, folks, have a great one and be easy, people.